Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Thanks for being with us for our service this morning. We are into the season of Epiphany and blessed to each of us as the Lord pours out on us His grace, have the Epiphany that Jesus made us right with God and brought us back to Him through the forgiveness of sins and through His cross and resurrection. So blessed to be together. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in. Wish the Lord's blessings to you as well as you listen and are a part of our service that way. This morning, our welcome hymn is hymn 807, When Morning Gilds the Skies. So we invite the congregation to join us in singing hymn 807. And also, when we get to the last verse of that hymn, if you would please stand if you're able. Let's sing together. It is with joy in Christ Jesus this morning that we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We observe a moment of silence briefly for reflection on God's word and self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 117 and Psalm 96. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. It is one of my favorite things about our church that in the church service we have the scriptures read, you know, so much. It's a blessing to all of us to hear God's word read. Our Old Testament reading for this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're blessed to hear again the account of the calling of Samuel and what God decides to do with the house of Eli. We begin in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Would you join us in our responsive psalm from Psalm 139? O Lord, you have searched me and you know me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it.
You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We continue with our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth and to the Christians in Alamosa this morning as well. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now for Abel for our singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We invite you to join us now and sing our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn 402, "The Only Son from Heaven." Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus this morning, amen. Today, there's an important theme that I want to get right to, uniting all our readings that we heard read just a few moments ago. In each reading, we see the theme. The theme is this: being known by God. Actually being known by Him. In 1 Samuel, God knows Samuel, and God knows the secrets of Eli's house. In 1 Corinthians 6, God knows the sexual immorality of the Corinthians, and He knows the same things about us. In the gospel reading, Jesus already knows Nathanael before Nathanael had ever even met Him. But it's our psalm for this morning, Psalm 139, that we did responsively, that we read responsively earlier. That psalm that unites these texts together as it speaks more intimately about God's knowledge of us. In fact, that's exactly, if you want to turn over there in your bulletin, you can kind of follow along with us this morning in the sermon. That's exactly how Psalm 139, there on page 7 in your bulletin, that's how the psalm begins. It says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. He knows. It's one of those moments where you want to express that as much as possible. He knows. Even our physical movements, our emotions, what we're dealing with in our lives, our joy, our pain, our fear, what we're doing and when we're doing it, and our most secret thoughts. And it's obvious why that could come across a little frightening. God knows. It means nothing's hidden from Him. Nothing. He saw Nathanael under the fig tree. He knew that Eli hadn't restrained his sons in the sexual immorality that they committed in the temple, blaspheming against God. And He knew where Samuel was sleeping. He knew his name. He knows it all. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has a run-in with the Pharisees after He exorcises a demon from a blinded mute man. In verse 25 of Matthew 12, the text says this: knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them. Same thing in Luke chapter 5. When they let the paralyzed, you might remember this story, they let the paralyzed man down through the roof of the house because of the crowds. Then they wanted to get him to Jesus, but they couldn't get through the crowd. They let him down through the ceiling. Jesus healed the man and said to him, your sins are forgiven you. But there too were scribes and Pharisees who weren't okay with the man, with a man forgiving sins. And they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 22 says, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered them. God knows our thoughts, just like the psalm said. Look at verse 4 in the psalm with me this morning. It says this: even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. There's no hiding from God. Like Adam and Eve tried in the garden, when we can go back and read what happened there, when they knew that they had sinned, they tried to escape Him. They tried to hide themselves from Him. But He called out to them in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3, and He said, where are you? God knew exactly where they were. But He called out to them that question for their benefit, for their sake, and this morning, for us too. He calls out to us. He calls out to us when our sins have taken us away from Him, caused us to want to hide from Him. Now, I know we all have things about us, right? Thoughts, deeds, things we avoid doing that we know we should, shortcomings, all sorts of stuff we'd rather God not even know about. But He knows. He knows all of it. Scary, is it? Frightening, is it? Is it something that would cause you to hide? Does it cause you to hide from Him? I know you're sitting in church, which is great, right? But what about the rest of the week? Listen to the psalmist again here in verses 7 through 9. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Remember Jonah? That's what he did. He said, I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to Nineveh to preach. Those people don't deserve it. I'm going to get on a boat and sail to Tarshish, which is a long ways out. But guess what? Even though he went into the uttermost parts of the sea, the Lord was also there. He's fully present, and he fully knows everything about us. The secrets of our hearts are open before him. So how do we respond? You know, knowing this about God this morning, hearing it again, because I'm sure you already knew it. Being reminded of this glorious and yet fearful reality. I'll tell you what it does for most Christian people. It causes us to compartmentalize. That's what it does. To partition or divide our thinking. What do I mean by that? I mean, we separate our lives into different little subsections. Let me give you an example. Life outside of church and life inside of church. When we come to church, we act one way, but when we're not at church, the question is, do we act the same? We watch our mouths when we're in the building. Try not to use bad language. Try not to show who we are the rest of the time. Are we always kind, loving, compassionate, forgiving? I wonder, if you have a spouse, what would they say if I asked them that question about you? Are you always kind, compassionate, loving, forgiving? What would your brothers or sisters say if you have siblings, your friends, or your children? Oh, see, but here's the thing. They learn our close relatives and friends, our weaknesses. And they allow us to compartmentalize like this. They know us. They know how weak we can be and what we easily fall prey to. But there's something about us that they love. Sure, they hope that being around God's word will help us to learn more kindness, more patience, more love and compassion and forgiveness. So church probably would be the last place, right, that they would call us out on the hypocrisy of compartmentalization. But do you see what I'm saying? Church is the place we come to be forgiven. The holy place where we seek refuge and shelter from the world, yes, and the troubles that come, absolutely. But tell me that it's not true. The church is also the place where through our partitioned thinking, you and I, where we also get a break from ourselves. Oh, it's true. it's true. Who we really are the other 167 hours of the week. And you know what? This is the amazing thing about it. It is refreshing as all get out. It's awesome. When this hour is done, and we have heard that we're forgiven, and that God actually does love us, when we receive the life of our Lord in the bread and wine of the sacrament, when we spend time with other believers, we feel unburdened, lightened, renewed. For some, they think this way. They think people pretend at church. Have you ever heard that? I remember one person who'd tell me, well, I see the same people at the bar on Saturday night that I see at the church on Sunday morning, so. And they're struck by some appearance of hypocrisy is the way that that gets played. But the Bible says the person that you and I try to be at church, that's a lot closer to who you truly are. The acting and pretending is what's going on the rest of the week. The anger, the frustration, the disappointment when our expectations aren't met in this life, the language, the sadness, the depression, that is not you. Thus saith the Lord God, actually. This is, right now, this moment, our true identity. God knows. He gave it to us. He knows we are those who sit at the feet of Christ's word and want to learn it. He knows the truth about us. He knows us and all things. Church is amazing because we get to be who we truly are at church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, know for certain that this is the heart of Psalm 139. It's not a scary thing at all that God knows us. That he knows more intricately about us and intimately about us than we know ourselves or than we know anyone else. Those who know us, they love us, right? They help us. They don't accuse us. They don't point out our sins to hurt us, but if they know us and love us, they point out our sins to help us. And how much more is God about that work? He understands our weaknesses. And he doesn't sugarcoat the sin in our lives when he tells us about it. But friends, it's because he knows who we really are. He's helping us become our true selves. Listen to the scriptures again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Speaking about Christ. Friends, God knows our weaknesses. But get this. He loves us anyways. He loves us anyway. You gotta think about that for just a second. The one who really knows you, who knows the secret thoughts of your heart, who knows the thoughts before a word is even on your tongue, he loves you. He's not a tyrant. He's not angry with you. Those are the devil's accusations. He's the accuser, and he's been a liar since the beginning. That's not how he feels about us. Psalm 139, look at verse 5 and 6 there. It says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." You hem me in? I'm a guy. I haven't done a lot of sewing in my life, so it kind of, you know, had to look into that one. Like, what does that mean exactly? You hem me in. It's an image of protection. You lay your hand on me. That's an image of comfort. and peace, like we'd lay our hand on a child who's afraid. But then at the end there, he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. So what knowledge is too great for us? Friends, it's this, the knowledge that he can actually know us, that we're not hiding anything from him at all, that everything is naked and open to the eyes of to whom we must give an account, that we're fully known and God still protects us and lays his hand of comfort and blessing upon us. I've got to tell you, and I'm speaking to myself too, he knows the real, uncompartmentalized you. The person who trusts him. Huh? Who wants to please him. He sees you. The new you, the person he created, brand new at the font in the waters of holy baptism. He made you. The person the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come, and all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Would you look up at the cross with me this morning? The cross is an object lesson for us. Christ came to reconcile us to himself. It's got two beams, right? The vertical beam and the horizontal beam. The vertical beam represents our relationship with God. The horizontal beam represents our relationship with the world around us, with other people. With creation even. See, the problem with sin and grudges and anger and compartmentalizing our lives so that we're one person in one place and we're another person somewhere else. The problem with all those things that happen to us in our horizontal reality, in the world. The problem with those things is they cause us to doubt the vertical. They cause us to stop thinking that this relationship between us and God is perfect, not by our efforts, not by anything that we did, but by the holy and precious blood of Christ. That made that relationship absolutely bulletproof. But when we go our own ways, we start thinking that something's wrong there. Friends, I'm here to tell you, I was sent here, I was called here to tell you, there's nothing wrong. He loves you so much. So much. That he died for you. He gave his own son, Jesus, for us. The horizontal happenings, they can't change what Jesus did in that vertical relationship with God, or change his fatherly heart towards you that wants to hem you in and protect you and wants to lay his hand on you and comfort you. Let me ask you this. Can any sin that you do change what happened 2,000 years ago on a cross outside the city of Jerusalem? Can anything you do or don't do change the resurrection of Christ? No. That vertical part, we're not powerful enough to mess it up. That vertical part, that's what God did for us. That's how he brought us his peace, because he knows us. He knows our weaknesses, and for this reason, he chose to go to that cross. He holds our relationship with him through his power of forgiveness and his mercy and his pardon for us in Christ. He knows the person that, as the psalm says later in chapter 139, that he knit together you in your mother's womb. So yes, we're known by God, friends, but let me tell you, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's awesome. He knows us. He knows that our sins cause us to run away, to try to hide from him, to avoid him. So he went to the cross to tell us all this morning again, he's not angry with us. He doesn't hold our mistakes against us. He loves us more than we'll ever know. We're his dear children, according to 1 John. So this morning, he's laid his hand upon you and me again through the gospel. As he hems us in and protects us from the lies by his teaching, he knows you. He knows we compartmentalize our lives and that we pretend sometimes to be people we aren't. But friends, let me encourage you. That is certainly not happening right now. Not this morning. This morning we are our true selves as we see our need for Christ. This is the most amazing, amazing, amazing part. And then I'm done. He actually knows you and me, everything about us. And he still loves us. Such knowledge is too great for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. But it's still true. Rest, friends, in that awesome love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning together to the words of the Nicene Creed. They're found, the beginning of the creed is found there on the bottom of page 9 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. We continue standing for our prayers this morning for the prayer of the church. The response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, put a new song in our mouths, Lord. Lead us out of all deceit or confusion and into the confidence of your truth and the true identity that you've given to each of us in Christ. Let us proclaim your wondrous deeds of faithfulness and salvation without fear or hesitancy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
King of Israel, As you once called Samuel, Philip, and Nathaniel into your service, be pleased now to call men into your holy ministry and women into service in your church on earth. Give them a delight in your holy scriptures and in the message of the gospel that relieves our consciences and blesses us so greatly, that their witness would lead many to follow Jesus, the Son of God. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you call fathers and mothers and children to serve in their households. Let them serve eagerly, each according to their station, trusting that such love honors you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, let all the nations and peoples of the earth ascribe to you the glory due your name. Hear our prayers for all rulers and leaders, especially for Joseph, our president, and Jared, our governor, together with all legislators and judges. Direct them, we pray, by your word and spirit, and establish them in saving faith, leading them in their offices to govern wisely for the good of their people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, behold in mercy all for whom we pray in the prayers of our church. This morning we name before you the Troike family, Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Jim and Linda Holman, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Geary, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, Audra Rendon, and all those that we name silently in our hearts at this time. Lord, bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to all in need. Receive our thanks for your constant watch and merciful kindness in every sorrow and every joy. Do not let our eyes be drawn away from the greatest marvel of your kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you've blessed our church in such great ways here at Trinity, and Lord, one of those ways is our school. Lord, we thank you for our school board, for our teachers, Lord, for our staff, and Lord, for everyone that works so hard and so diligently to make those opportunities for those families and children to hear about your love and your forgiveness inside these walls. Lord, we pray that you continue to lead us and guide us as we do that work of mission with the school. And Lord, provide for it, we ask. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, renew the gift of your Holy Spirit to all who commune this day at this altar. Work in us true contrition to be honest before you and lament and abandon our sins, and so to come confident in faith, to eat your Son's body and drink his blood given and shed for us and given for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, mighty God, you have shown us the face of your mercy in your Son, through whom all nations may find unity and life. Hear the prayers of your people and grant what is needful to us and those for whom we pray, that trusting in your mercy, our hearts may find perfect peace and rest. Lord, I also lift up to you everyone who's gathered here and who's listening on the radio. Lord, we all have things that are going on in our lives. And Lord, to each of us, they're a big deal. Lord, I pray for them right now, and I ask that you would bless all of us. Sort out those things for us. Show us your power and strength, and help us. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service now where we have an opportunity to give to the Lord a portion of those things that he so graciously blessed us with in our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented to the altar this morning, we have the blessing of hearing our TLC singers sing the hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. Amen. Thank you, TLC singers. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning in and for being a part of our service with us that way. If you're gathered with us here in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 11 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. And if you're able at this time, we invite you to stand as well. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.